Now today, friends, we bring our study to the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we continue on with David. David now is fleeing from Saul. He's being hounded. This was a period of testing in the life of David, and it, I think, changed him from a little innocent shepherd boy to a rugged man who became God's man and ruled over his people. But we find in this chapter here that David again spares Saul's life here at En-Gedi, and the reason that he does it, he'll make very clear. We'll see that. Now let me move into this chapter, 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, and I'm reading, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats." Now that means that David has really gone to a rugged place to hide out. And he does not have, we know, 3,000 men. Saul's army greatly outnumbered David, but David could make up with strategy and the fact that he knew the area and his men were rugged men indeed. Now notice verse 2, "Then Saul took these 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and he went to seek David, and it was upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." Now, Saul came into the very cave that David was hiding, and he goes to sleep. Well, of course, his men are on guard, but they are on guard outside, not on the inside of the cave. They're permitting the king to have privacy in order that he might get a good nap. Well, notice what happens. "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I'll deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." That is, he quietly and privately slipped up and just trimmed off the lower part of the garment of King Saul. "Now it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt." He regretted he'd done that because actually it was a source of embarrassment. Imagine when Saul waked up and stood up and he's in a mini skirt. Well, that is something that even in that day kings didn't do, was go around in mini skirts. Now will you notice verse 6? "He said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Now what David is doing here is honoring the office, not the man. He respects the office, not the man. May I just interject this at this particular point? I personally do not think that the President of the United States, regardless of what party he belongs to, or regardless of who he is or how bad he might be, I do not think that he should ever be made a subject of a cartoon or the object of ridicule. Now, he can be criticized in a democracy, of course, but to make him a subject of ridicule, as the cartoonists do of our presidents, I think it's entirely wrong, and for comedians to attempt to imitate them. Now, that's just my personal opinion, but I think that we ought to have more respect for the office than we do, because you and I live in a country that has its faults, but it's been a great country and a good country to most of us, and it's because of the form of government we've had so far. I do not know what the future holds, but this is my comment relative to that, and you will notice at least how David, and David is being hunted by this man. David won't lay a hand on him. Why? Because of the fact that he's God's anointed, and he's going to let God deal with him. My, if we could only get to the place where we let God handle our enemies. Most of us want to handle them. But God can do a better job. You remember he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And that simply means this. God says that when you and I take these things in our own hands, we're no longer walking by faith. We're not trusting him. What we're really saying is, "Lord, we can't trust you to handle this as we want it handled, so we're going to take it in our hands." And David now is going to let God handle King Saul. And I think the Lord will do a pretty good job, by the way, before he's through with him. And David now is really embarrassed. Fact of the matter is, his conscience disturbs him because he actually is making the king a subject of ridicule. Imagine a man standing up with a miniskirt on. That's exactly what happened. Now, verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. He would not permit his men. And I'll tell you, several of those men had no use for him, and they would have killed him in a moment, but David would not permit it. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also rose afterward and went out of his cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. You see, he respects him. It's the office, not the man. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I'll not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he's the Lord's anointed." And actually, he's demonstrated now to King Saul he's not seeking his life. Saul has been told, wrongly of course, David was much misunderstood, but he's much maligned also and misrepresented by both friend and enemy, I think. And so we find here he's making it clear to Saul that he was not seeking his life at all. Now I'm going to drop down, because what you have here is David makes it very clear to Saul that he's not seeking his life. And he would like to have had Saul let up from hunting him. But actually, this just really antagonizes this man more, because he actually, at this time, I'm of the opinion he's demon-possessed. The evil spirit came upon him. Verse 20 now, let me read these last three verses. "And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." Now, will you notice Saul's statement here? This is something that is quite amazing. Saul knew it, and is greatly moved by what David does. We're told here that he wept. And now he acknowledges that he knows that he's to be king. And he says here now, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men get them up into the hole. David doesn't trust him, you see. David gets farther and farther into the wilderness to hide, because he knows there'll come a day when Saul will come after him again.